Hey, parents of students of any ages, I want to talk to you about Move Up Sunday. Move Up Sunday is the day that we as a church officially recognize that your students have entered a new grade. So if they were in fifth grade, on this day, we consider them a sixth grader as far as the church is concerned. Move Up Sunday is happening on June 6th, and here's why you need to know this. We're starting service in the main sanctuary. Everyone needs to be in the main sanctuary except for your nursery children. They can go to the nursery. We're going to be in here, and right at the beginning of service, we're going to celebrate everyone moving into new classes. So again, for example, students moving out of fourth grade into fifth grade, we're going to celebrate them going from the children's ministry into the youth ministry. So everyone's going to start in here. We're going to celebrate the move up classes, pray over them, and then we'll dismiss Children's Church out for their classes, and the youth ministry will stay in here for worship like we've been doing. If you have any questions about Move Up Sunday, contact myself or Pastor Randy. We would love to help you understand the whole process so nobody's confused when we get there. We look forward to celebrating with you and your students on June 6th.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs. That's right, family of faith. It's time for the annual Farmers Market in Sidney, Ohio, starting May the 29th at 8 a.m. and going to noon every Saturday up through October. We've ministered last year over 4,000 hot dogs. We gave away hot dogs, water, and chips down in Sidney, Ohio. And because of that act of kindness, we've been allowed to pray with people, pray for their families, turn around and share the gospel, lead some people back to Christ. So I encourage you to become part of this event. This is for young as old alike, families, couples, and individuals. Remember, we are the family of faith. We value relationships in the church, but also in our communities. And yes, we are rescuers. Remember, Jesus said, as you've done it unto one of these, you've done it unto him. If you're interested in helping, there's a sign-up sheet up at the Welcome Center that you can put your name to. You probably need to do this once or twice out of the entire year because so many people sign up for it. Or you can see me personally at the church. Greatly appreciate it. Hope to see you there.
He called you to get his thoughts. He called you to get his ways. And when you get his thoughts and his ways, bigger and better and greater things begin to happen to you.
Jesus didn't walk by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
The God that's going to turn your nothing into a miracle like you have never seen before in your life.
Welcome, welcome to Only Believe Ministries. That's our Pentecost video for next week, starting Sunday. Exciting. How many of you are making plans right now to be here on Pentecost week? Yes, amen. I remember revivals when I was young that Dad and Mom would go to night after night after night after night. And I was just a young kid on the pew, falling asleep during service, but wake up in the middle of the night speaking in an unknown language out of the middle of a dream because my spirit had become so full of what God had intended and I was falling asleep and still getting what he had for me. So please make it a point to put pressure to the enemy night after night after night. Amen. And see what he will do. If you're a first-time visitor here today, just reach in front of you. There's a little card. If you'd like to know more about our church, we'd like to know more about you. And you can give that to Alexis or Blake out at the Welcome Center this morning and just tell them that you're first time here and we'd love to give you more information about our church. Also, I want to encourage all of our homegrown Only Believe, tonight is home group night. And if you don't have a home group, you can go also to the Welcome Center and find a place where you can meet. I will tell you that Lima and Anna are not having home groups tonight. One is under construction and the other one has opted out for this month. But New Bremen, New Knoxville, and St. Mary's home group will all be meeting together at the New Knoxville Park tonight. Sorry, I couldn't remember which city it was they were meeting in, but they're all going to be bringing food together and it's going to be an awesome time of fellowship. They're mixing all three, so if you want to go out and be a part of that, I'm sure it's going to be a fun one. If you want another home group and you're asking, I want to be a part of this, go to our Facebook page. You can find addresses and everything you need there. Also, there's an invite card. How many of you see the Holy Spirit invite card on your pew? All right, if you would grab that. And Pastor Tim gave the option last week. He gave the information saying, give it to someone that you know, maybe at a gas pump, because you're right there getting. Today, I'm going to ask you to give that to your waitress. How many of you go out after lunch and you literally have hand-to-hand contact with this lady? Leave her this and invite her to your church, right? Remember, the gospel's not just for us, it's for the entire world. But if we don't share, how will they know, right? All right, so stand to your feet this morning. I'm excited about getting into praise and worship. Today is a day of communion, and we're going to commune together. So in the second song, we'll do a little bit of prayer, and then we'll get into it.
Take my hand now, lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring, you are stirring. You're the light for your sons and your daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. So bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord His glory. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love.
Still, into your love, into your love. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still.
You know, this next part of this song, and we as a team love this song. It's just fun. And let's be real. Who hasn't got picked up, turned around? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You didn't hear anybody?
I didn't hear you. I got ears. I'm sorry.
It seemed like there's a cloak. I don't want to say it's a shadow of death from like the fourth row back. You know, this is our moment. Thank you. This is our moment to glorify Him. If you get invite Him in, He'll come. You stand there like a dead twig, you'll be a dead twig. It is not the sound fault. It is not the worship team fault. I know it ain't my fault. It's your lazy self. Get a hold of yourself. You are the people of God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. If you cannot put your hand together, ask somebody to help you around you. If there's no sound coming out of those that are around you, hit them. Make them yell. Get up out of your religious self and put faith to work. Put it to work. Put it to work. Put it to work. You are not statutes to religion or idolatry. We live in Him and move, move, move. And we have our being. I don't expect one white, shiny face not to be daubing with the music. And I don't expect one black shiny face not to be having its head not moving. This is the time we get to serve and worship God. God the Almighty, Jesus. Do you believe in Him? Well, then bless God. Let go and let God do something. Hallelujah.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Oh, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Don't stay there.
Get up, get up, get up, oh, get up out of that grave. Oh, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Oh, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up.
Come on, let's sing that out.
I thank the Savior, and I thank the the master. I thank the Savior. I thank the master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Oh, we thank the Lord. Oh, we thank the Lord. Thank you, God. You picked me up. You turned me around. You set my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter today. Before we take communion, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. So we're doing this in remembrance of our Savior. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Again, remembering him and the price that was paid at Calvary. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Every time we participate, we show the Lord's death till he come. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is our blessed hope. We do this in remembrance of what he did. But it doesn't stop there. It's what's coming and what's promised. And that is his great return. I'm reminded today of the old hymn. This says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but upon Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Today, as we remember Jesus on the cross and his blood and his body that was broken for you and I, can we evaluate and examine where our trust relies? Because if our trust is in this earth, upon earthly things, then our hope is not founded on the remembrance of the blood and the body. Today, let's remember that where we are in this life, as volatile as it may be, what we stand upon is solid. It's not sinking, it's not unsure. It is the only thing in this life that we can put our trust upon. Today we remember our blessed hope, which is coming for a church that has examined itself and has been found right and without spot or blemish in his sight. We bless this bread. We bless this juice, Father, as we remember your coming and we remember your death. But Father, we remind you that we will not give our hope to idols. We will not give our trust into this earthly system. But God, we will put our trust upon you. The solid rock is where this church shall stand. Today we remember you. Blessed as we take it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Feel free to come as you want and take communion.
Hallelujah.
promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I will remain steadfast. And let my heart learn as you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness.
Is your faithfulness to me?
setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness.
Come on, let's sing that again. Great is.
Great is your faithfulness.
Come on, everyone, let's sing this.
You are good.
Let's tell him.
He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. He picked me up. Turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground.
Church. Hallelujah. I love that we serve a faithful God, that when life wants to toss you to and fro, when the waves want to overtake you, God places you. You're steadfast. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. And I love worshiping with my church. Amen. All right, all of you ladies, I want you to stand up. All right. I want you to repeat after me. Well, after I say it. Say, I am beautiful. I am beautiful. Now I want you to look to your neighbor and say, girl, you are beautiful. Amen. Now that you've been encouraged, you can sit back down. All right. And you gentlemen, go ahead and stand up. I didn't forget you. Good job, Shane. Brownie points for you. All right, hallelujah. And I want you to say, I am able. And I want you to look to your brother in the Lord and say, brother, you're able. Amen. Now that you've been blessed, you can sit back down. All right,
I'm slightly nervous, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with my family in Christ. I have a story for you, and it was a hard story for many years, but it's a good story because God was in the midst. All right? You guys know the Bible verse Malachi 3:10, right? It's kind of a staple. I'm going to go to it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And this is my favorite part. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and I will see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's not room enough for it. Hallelujah. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields and will not cast their fruit. Praise God. Now, next verse. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening, let not your hands be idle. All right? For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do well equally. All right. I have one more verse, but I'm going to, while I'm getting that, I want you guys, if you have change, to pull out a dime, please. It's going to be a little visual, because it's whenever I see one, it reminds me. If you have a dime, pull it out. And those of you who do not have a dime, go to Philippians 4:4-8. All right, my story, and this is, like I said, my story. It involves my husband and I, but I'm going to share it from my view, okay? Everybody in this church has been in a battle. And sometimes you're in a battle that went longer than you thought it would ever go, took you deeper than you ever thought it would take you, right? And you felt like you were grasping at straws, gasping for air. You felt like those waves were overtaking you. But God. Probably, I think it was 13 years ago, my husband, Delphi, shut down. We saw it as an opportunity. We just didn't realize how hard that opportunity would be, okay? So in this opportunity for my husband to do things that he's always wanted to do, dream big, it didn't go the way that we thought it would go, all right? And we got to places where we were behind on our house payment. And I'm, you know, pacing the floor. God, what do I do? I'm stressed out. I feel anxious. I'm thinking someone's going to come to my house and tell me to get out. I've never been here before. I'm trying to figure it out myself. And the Lord says to me, Erica, will you give me your house? I mean, what kind of question is that? It was about to get real because I didn't know what that meant. But I said, yes, because he knows. I don't. Right? Through the processes, we have our home. It is more beautiful than it's ever been before. And it wasn't because of anything that I did, but I trusted him. Right? I have a lot of stories like that. A story of the SUV that I had at the time. I did not have income, but I needed to lower my payment. And I said, God, I'm just going to call him and just be real with them. And they refinanced my vehicle on no income. I was like, that's a miracle, right? That's a miracle. Now, God still paid it off. I don't have any vehicle debt or credit card debt. But it's all because of him, not things that I did other than trusting him. And this is where the dime comes into play. As a mother or as a parent, you want to leave a legacy of faith to your children. I do. I want my children seeing the heart of God and tithing and sowing and giving to be their normal. Okay? I want that for them. I want it to be as easy as it is to breathe, okay? And this is one of the stories that I'm going to share with you, because my Emma at the time, I don't know if she's in here or not, we were going to go on vacation to Myrtle Beach to visit family, okay? And she's like, Mom, I want to fly. Honey, we don't know. We just, at the time, I don't like saying I don't have the money, because I feel like that takes the opportunity from God. Okay, it limits. That's just me, okay? She comes to me one day, and I think she was 5, maybe 6. I can't remember. Anyways, she was small. She came to me, and she had a dime. And she said, Mom, I want to fly to Myrtle Beach. I mean, serious. I want to fly to Myrtle Beach. And I said, honey, I'm going to take that. I'm going to sew it, and we're going to watch God do something. Right? Because that's who he is. It was that seed, church, of faith, that seed of trust, that seed of hope. And I'm telling you, within a week, someone called us and said, we want to fly you to Myrtle Beach. Now, whoever God used, however he did it, he did it. And we have our children in a private school in Troy. This is a decision that my husband and I, after visiting a lot of schools, that we wanted to do. I don't have the money to spend to put them in there. But I didn't let that stop me, because if I had learned anything in this process and this journey that was hard, is that God just needed an opportunity. He just needed me to believe him. He didn't need me to figure it out, because I already figured out I'm not enough. I'm not. I had $5. It's all I had in my purse. Emptied it all out. I sewed it. All of my kids go there, and it doesn't cost me a dime. God always makes a way. All right? Now, this story is to boast on him. But church, it's also to challenge you that don't be limited by what simply that you can do. Now, God tells us to give your tithes and your offerings to test him, to prove him. But don't be idle. Sow your seed. Believe that he will do the impossible, whether it's in your marriage to restore it, whether it's in you feel just completely sucked out of all joy. Bless God, you start sowing joy. Start sowing smiles to people. Don't let that stop you. If you are discouraged, because I've been there, when it shackled me, and I said, no, I am not staying here. This is not a good example. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for my children. I'm going to start sowing encouragement. And you know what? That is now a habit I have, whether by mailing people letters, by texting them, by reaching out, by blessing them with something. It's a habit to encourage my brother and sister, or friends, neighbors, whoever it is. God will honor your faith. He will honor your seed. All right? Now, that final part, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. When you go through a season like we went through, anxiety wants to grip you like a chain and hold tight. We have to decide, no. I'm not going to go there, because I have the word. I have my brothers and sisters in Christ who I can reach out to, who will pray for me, who will intercede for me, who will encourage me, who will challenge me. But be anxious for nothing about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, and we all love the peace of God, which transcends, goes through, just comes through. It's not stopped. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. the next part of it we use in our home a lot. The part about what you think on. Okay? Church. In that season, I learned. I had a great foundation. A great foundation. You guys gave it to me. I've been here since I was, I think, 8, 9. But in that season, I learned the greatness of God. I learned how good He is. I learned that He will turn a dime into thousands of dollars. I learned $5 into $1,000. Or when I am, my heart is broken and I'm weeping because I'm overwhelmed. And when I sow peace, like I sowed this dime, that God would bring encouragement, that He would restore me, that He would take what was developing as a heart of stone and He would soften me and make me pliable. But it was one thing. It was Jesus. He was the difference. So I challenge you. I heard Pastor Nicole talk about a couple weeks ago of giving our tithes and offerings because it offers us protection and it's obedience. And I would also implore you in your offerings that you sow seed. You keep a journal. And you watch the God of miracles do big things. We should not be idle for our families. We shouldn't be idle in our finances. We shouldn't be idle in our in our communities. We should be doing something for the kingdom. Where you say, Erica, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm just in a season. The way you get out of that season is this. You can't stay idle. God's tithes, His offerings, His seed, start sowing. And then you start sowing your seed and giving your tithes. And then you start praying. You start getting into His word and you watch Him do it. I'm here today. I'd be here anyways, but I'm up here today because God did that for me. He did that for my husband. He did that for my children. And He has the same for you. All right, so I'm going to pray for you. And do we have the buckets? Okay. All right, Father God, I just thank You. I thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank You, God, for teaching us in Your word about the importance of tithe and offerings, our seed, God. Thank You, Lord, for challenging us, for equipping us with all that we need. But God, when we feel like we're not enough, that we reach out to You. We rely on the friends. But God, I rebuke fear. I rebuke discouragement. And God, I thank You for removing the shackles and allowing that faith to set us free. God, may this challenge today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your giving today. You're making a difference in people's lives every single time you do that. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Many people have been asking a report on the Easter offering. I know I've had three or four people come to me. I want to give you a quick update of where we stand. As of today, people are still giving, and people have asked that question, can we still give? Of course you can. The principles still stand true. The more we have in, the more we can do the outside of this beautiful facility. But as of a few days ago, we have received $50,478.52. We just want to say thank you, Only Believe, for your faithfulness to God's house. You know, I believe as you're faithful in sowing into God's house, God's going to bless your house. And I want to encourage you, hold tight to that, because I believe you're going to see some surprises. As Erica mentioned, some surprises she and her family are blessed with. I believe because of your faithfulness by sowing into God's house, taking care of God's house, your house will be taken care of as well. So we just want to give you just a quick report. Again, if you like to still continue to give, this is a big facility. So $50,000 is a lot of money, and we're thankful for it. But you'd be surprised how fast $50,000 goes on one side of a building. So I know Dave Wordwell is building a massive facility off I-75, and those things cost millions upon millions of dollars. But we're so thankful. We're going to say we just give God praise for you and what you're doing. You are truly doing so many great things for the kingdom. So thank you so much for your giving, and we love you. We appreciate you. Now let's give a warm welcome to our pastor, Pastor Peter Dosek.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now I did not find this. This was found in the women's bathroom. So if you lost a nice bracelet, unless your neck is that big, please, will you see Nikki? Yep. See Nikki, please. Yeah. All righty. And then, can I have Tammy Cook come up this morning? Tammy Cook. Hey, Tammy. Oh, here she is. Thank you, Eric. Well, you didn't come down. You came out. Okay. Praise God. All righty. Tammy, you got a testimony.
I do. So those of you that don't know, oh, so bright up here, that don't know, my stepdad had a stroke 3 years ago, and it's been a battle. So the night he had a stroke, he was a very mean alcoholic, didn't know the Lord, and my mom and I were in the emergency room, and they said, do the surgery now or he dies, and they didn't give him that much of a chance, so I did what I did best, and I prayed over him, and I said, Lord, he doesn't know you. Don't let him die without knowing you. He pulled through it, and throughout these past 3 years, he has been in and out of the hospital for so many different surgeries that people and doctors have pretty much given up. I'm like, no, 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 no. So I kept praying with him, and when I would get down and just feel like, God, I can't do this, where are you? I would reach out to my church family. There are so many people in here that they always picked up the phone. They always talked me down, even when I was bawling, because I just didn't know what to do. So thank you to my church family. And also those of you that feel like God's not there, he's not moving, he is there. He is always, always, always working. Even when you don't see it or you don't feel it, just keep pushing through. Just keep praying. So a couple weeks ago, doctors gave him clean bill of health to go ahead and take this trip to Missouri. Him and mom went. They come back. 2 days later, he's back in the hospital. When he gets up, it seems like the devil pushes him back down. I got mad. I went into the hospital room. I don't even know what day it was last week. And I said, Mom, shut the door. It's about to get real in here. And I had it out with the devil. I laid hands on him. I told him to take this sickness and go back to the fiery pits of hell where it belongs with him. And he is healed in Jesus' name. So last Wednesday, he come home from the hospital, and he walks with the walker, and he favors his right side, so it takes him a minute to get that right leg going. And so yesterday, I met Mom in my stepdad's house, and we come inside, and he's walking out of the bathroom. Mom goes, what are you doing? He goes, go to the bathroom. She goes, without your walker? And I'm just standing there like, and he looks down. He goes, I guess so. I said, Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we eat dinner, and then he has a lift chair. Typically, he puts that bad boy all the way up until he's standing. Nope. Sitting position. He got up. He walked around, and he did just this. And I was like, that right there, Mom, that is a working miracle. I said, you need to start thanking God right now for the healing in him, because you're only getting stronger. So praise Jesus. Keep the faith. Keep your eyes on him. Even when it seems like he's not there, he is there. He's always working. Always, always, always. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Tammy. You. Praise God. And sure, you can go anywhere you want, Tammy. Just jump. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. You know God's here. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's here. There's only one thing on his mind, and that's to do good. That you and I leave this place changed in some way. Line by line, doctrine by doctrine, truth by truth, that we transform ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. God is here, and he knows every one of our needs, every one of them. He knows before we've ever even thought of them. So know that God is doing something in our midst. You may not realize it, but God is doing it. And God is moving. God is moving you progressively towards a visitation by his Spirit, that he can transform your life, that your life will be a testimony and not a catastrophe. Amen. And so God is here, and we are here one with another. Amen? Amen? And we need to love one another as God has loved us and given himself for it. Amen? I want to start today by talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We started talking about them last week, out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We started talking about what are known the inspirational gifts or the vocal gifts, the gifts that require sound, a man, a woman's voice, in order to have a divine impact. Now, when people are used in this way, these gifts are the most misunderstood gifts. In fact, there is no instruction in any gift about any gift in the Bible except the vocal gifts. And that's because they are very easily copied, mimicked without the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, people can grow to despise them. And that does happen. It happened in the Church of Thessalonica. It happened in the chaos and division that 1 Corinthians 14th chapter tells us that Corinthians had. But we as believers are to understand how they operate. Not to wonder, but to understand. And to become skillful in their usage. In fact, these vocals, these inspirational gifts, are the only gifts that we are to desire above any other gift. It is to be desired more than the gift of faith, more than the working of miracles. We are to desire to rise up and to edify, to comfort, to build up the church. And that doesn't mean that everything that we think is God urging us in a service, that everything should be done. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. You have to be able to discern if it is the time or if it's just something bearing witness with your spirit. God showing you something that is taking place or that which is about to happen. So many times people, as they grow, they make mistakes. But understand, not one place in the Scripture are the inspirational or vocal gifts ever rebuked. Disorder is rebuked, but not the gifts. The gifts are divine. The gifts are God. They are holy. But the vessels that they run through have a whole lot of clinky gears in them. They have personalities, they have quirks, they have beliefs, they have likes and dislikes, they have attitudes and opinions. And when the gospel, when the gifts of the Spirit, the inspirational gifts come forth, sometimes that all comes out. And instead of getting a thoroughbred, we just get a mongrel. And everybody loves mongrels, everybody loves dogs, hallelujah. But we are going to learn, and we are going to be very skillful, that when a word is spoken, that it is a word that builds up, edifies, and comforts. Amen. Now, by the counsel of many men that come here that travel worldwide and so forth, they think that I ought to join all the ranks of everybody else and just put a stop to it. Well, if you're looking for something to stop the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to stop someplace else, because I'm not trying to get away from the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get saturated, covered, filled, infused. I'm trying to get it from head to toe. And whether people like it or not, doesn't matter. God likes it. God loves it. God's for it. And if you aren't, then you just have to be an enemy of God. And I mean basically that. And there are churches all up and down the road, you can do what you want to do, that they're trying to pacify everybody that comes into the church. Even the vocal gifts, the inspirational gifts, speaking in tongues is a sign to them that believe not. So for you to discredit it, to cause it something that disrupts God, makes people uncomfortable, would be to God. They all felt like they were sitting on a coal in a pew when they come into a church. We don't serve man nor society. We serve an eternal, everlasting God. And if He is pleased with something, far be it beyond our grasp to lower God and to esteem a lost society. Well, it just confuses somebody. Open the Bible up and read. And it'll bring peace to your mind. And so, my mother and father-in-law were old Pentecost people. They would get stopped on the road from church and guns shoved in their window and say, "You come back next week or tomorrow night and preach this gospel, we'll kill you." And then they would come and tell them before service and say, "Hey, Brother George, there's some men back in the back. And when they told us that they were here to hear the message, they flashed their guns." My father-in-law would say, "Well, that's fine. There's worse places to die than this." Pentecost has not been cheap. It is one of the most hated doctrines to those that disbelieve than any other doctrine in the church. And I am not surrendering to the pressures of socialism or social acceptance to do away with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I'm just not going to do it. And so if we got a thousand people making mistakes, we'll have 1,000 mistakes. But we are not leaving the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't like them. And again, I say, then get on the side against God. Don't get so petty that you think you're Jesus, because you aren't. Amen. All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 1 through 11, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit that are unveiled to every believer. They are revealed to the church and every believer. Please listen to me. Every believer, every preacher, every deacon, every envelope pusher, every person that invites somebody, every person that greets somebody, every person has the birthright according, could I have Luke the 11th chapter, verse 9 through 13, they have the birthright to possess and to be filled with the gifts of the Spirit and the 9 gifts that will unveil Christ to a lost and dying world. And it says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask of any of you that is a father, will he ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father? This brings us to birthright. And churches and denominations today are selling out their birthright faster than they can put soup in the bowl. And it says this, your Father, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. Jesus said that out of their bellies, talking about believers, out of their bellies, John 7, 37 through 39, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Now, it seems impossible for that to happen, but the Holy Ghost supernaturally infuses us with 9 gifts of grace. Supernatural endowments. The gifts are supernatural. They don't need our help. They just need our faith and willingness. And they will function on their own. Could I get an amen? The gifts of the Spirit are divine measures of grace that are infused in you that come with, not separate from, that come with. Well, I thought you could have the gifts without speaking in tongues. No, you can't. Because you can't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost without the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I thought I got love. That is a fruit of the recreated human spirit. Again, I want to give you a great revelation. If you read this, you might know that there is truth that can set you free. And then, well, he's so kind. He's so good. You know, he bears all things. Those are fruits of the Spirit and the byproduct of love being established or matured in a believer's life. But they are not the replacement of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, does everybody speak in tongues? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that God selects divine people with divine gifts and he puts them in the church to function in the capacity of speaking in tongues and prophesying in the working of miracles in governments and so forth. So are all people set in those gifts that the church can receive? No. But do all speak with tongues? Well, we're going to do a very strange thing today. We're going to look at the Bible. Yeah, we're just going to look at the Bible. Hallelujah. And so when only what God can do through an individual are these endowments of grace, these gifts given to us through the person of the Holy Ghost. And they are to bear witness, not of an individual, but of Jesus' resurrection. And so they flow through us, but they are for the sole purpose of revealing him. Just like Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. In other words, he's going to replace Jesus. Well, when Jesus left, who did he take with him? The person of God, represented in the person of the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus bore witness to God. You and I receive the empowerment of the Holy Ghost for the sole purpose to reveal Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's through Jesus Christ do people believe in the eternal God. Hallelujah. And so they are to bear witness, not to the individual, but to the resurrected Christ. And the Bible says that God would not have us to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Now, we can make mistakes, but God doesn't continually expect us having information and access to not only the Holy Ghost, but to the Scriptures and to God Himself, He doesn't expect us to end up continuing in a childish way. He expects us to conduct ourselves as men. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I spoke as a man. These are gifts that may be inspired through us. Use our voices, but our voices must go from childhood to manhood. Thank you, praise God, those grunts. Hallelujah. Realize that no man can declare that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You say, well, people can say Jesus is Lord. Does that mean that's by the Holy Ghost? I've known some of the whiniest, meanest, backbitingest sinners in the world, and they've said, oh, I believe Jesus is Lord. That didn't make them a Christian. And it certainly did not show me that they had the Holy Ghost. When it says that we can only declare that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost, no man can say he's Lord but by the accompaniment of the Holy Ghost, it is emphatic that you and I learn to develop and move in the gifts of the Spirit. Not just in our local church, but in the streets where the needs of humanity are destroying lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I think I got one more grunt there. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. And we have to realize that if we disconnect ourselves from the Holy Ghost, we can walk in the Holy Ghost, but we will not live in the Holy Ghost. Remember, don't just be in the Spirit, but engage yourself with the Spirit of God. You are far more than what the devil can handle when you have been filled with the Holy Ghost and you have 9 divine weapons formed by God to overthrow and destroy every work of the devil. Hallelujah. And it is, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it is given to every believer to profit. Who doesn't want to succeed? Who doesn't want to increase? Who doesn't want to prosper? You are to use the gifts of the Spirit, not in just our church life, but in our business life, our family life, our relational lives. That's what we are to do. We are to be a light in the dark places of mankind. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is the first time that it is recorded in the New Testament that the Holy Ghost gives an utterance. Some would say, well, the gift of tongues was not in the Old Testament. But I would dare to differ from you. I would dare to remind you of the Nehemiah when, I mean, yeah, what was his name? Nebuchadnezzar. When a word was written on the walls and nobody could interpret it except the prophet of God. The gift of tongues has been around ever since the Holy Ghost has been around. And he has used men to speak to nations, to convert nations, and to transform men's hardened hearts. Amen. All of the gifts are the voice of the Holy Ghost preaching the resurrected Christ. All right. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. Didn't fill them. It filled the house first. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon them, each of them, and didn't burn them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So we see here, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is an infusing of a divine gift called other tongues. It is a language that shows that an individual has been filled. Well, can you receive the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues? Well, we have to look at the Bible, right? Not your theology, not your friend, not your Baptist buddy, not your Wesleyan friend. Doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what the Bible says. And you can't have something without it being verified by evidence. In fact, your new birth is scrutinized by you will know them by their fruits. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts 10:44. Acts 10:44. Hallelujah. Acts 10:44. And it says this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word of God. And they were all of the circumcision which believed, and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and they magnified God. Then Peter answered, hey, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, a sign of the new birth, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now there was an evidence of the Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost. What was it? They oozed with love. What was it? Don't be afraid to side with God. What was it? They heard them speak with other tongues. And then it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, how did they know that these Gentiles had been filled with the Holy Ghost? Speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues. You say, well, you're just a tongue fanatic. No, I'm a Bible fanatic. Now, let's go to Acts 9. Acts 9 and verse 17. This is one that people were not very kind to get around. His name was Saul. He got born again. His name was changed to Paul. And Ananias is told by God to go into an upper room and to meet with Paul. Ananias says, are you crazy? The guy goes around killing people. Now, God, I don't want to go over there. You've heard the rumors. I've heard the rumors. And, you know, it's not you going in there. It's me. And God tells Ananias, go his way. Go your way, because I want to show him what he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. He entered into the house and putting his hands on him and said, brother, indicating he is born again, brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. How do you think Ananias knew that Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost? Think he just said, ooh, Paul, I just feel the love and the sensitivity and the kindness and the meekness just oozing from your pores. I'm asking you a question. How do you think that this man knew that this murderer of the church had received the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Speaking with tongues. Now, when we talk about these portions of scriptures right here, what we must understand is that they are evidential tongues. The Gentiles did not get a prayer language. What did they get? They heard them speak the marvelous works of God and to praise Him. Didn't say they heard them pray to God. Us Pentecostals, enlightened, smarter than the written Bible, we added that. You don't get a prayer language when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You are given evidence that you have been filled. And that evidence, if you even go back into Acts, the second chapter, verse 15, 16, 17, 18. How is it that we hear these men speak the marvelous wonders of God? They weren't praying. So who's right? The Bible or us? Well, you know, I haven't got any new words. That's because Paul wrote and said, I don't want you to be ignorant. And since we don't preach on these things, we end up with ignorant, unlearned people. They don't even know that there was any prayer language. They didn't even know that it should be different than their evidential language. What is your evidential language used for? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 3 and 4, that if a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. You get charged up, built up, encouraged by speaking the things about God. That's the evidential language that is used to edify the believer. Could again, amen. Now, that tongue cannot and is not supposed to be interpreted. It is used as an evidential language. Pretty simple. All right. So this is known as an evidential language. Now, this language, this unknown tongue, these other tongues, are a fulfillment of the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel, you can find that in Acts, the second chapter. You can also find it in Joel, the second chapter. And you can read from verse 17 on down, and you will discover what God is doing. The outpour of the Holy Ghost was a time transformation of Israel. When Joel prophesies, he prophesies of the locusts. He prophesies of the drought that has come up on Israel. But then in the middle of chapter 2, he says, but the day will come when Israel will turn to God in the fullness of repentance, and God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and they that believe shall be saved. This marked a new time. The Bible says last days. Somebody say, have you believe we're in the last days? We've been in the last days ever since the first man ever spoke in tongues. We're in the last days. You think we're in the last? I don't think you can get any closer than last than last. Okay, hallelujah. It is also prophesied to us in Isaiah. Could I have this on the screen? Isaiah, the 28th chapter, starting in verse 9 to 16. This is Isaiah telling how God is going to woo Israel back to him. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And of whom shall he make to understand doctrine? There are two things about the Holy Ghost you need to understand. You need to have knowledge of it, and it should be the unshakable doctrine of every believer. And then it says this, and them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and other what? Will he speak to this people? We find that in Acts when they say, how is it we hear every man? Now every individual heard every man speaking in his own foreign tongue or his home language. That was a miracle. That every man heard every man preaching the same message in their own national tongue. Didn't say they went from one to another, another to another. It says they all heard it. And some people that oppose the infilling of the Holy Ghost say, well, they were speaking in other nationalities. They weren't speaking any nationality. They were all Galileans. They only knew one. But they were speaking in an unknown tongue, and God was allowing people to interpret it the way they needed to hear it. And then it says this, this is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest. This is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule the people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I will lay in Zion. When is the stone that have been rejected by the builders laid? On the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. It is that time that Joel is fulfilled. It is that time that God consecrates for Zion, for a foundation stone, tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Next verse. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and the righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep down the refuge of lies, and the water shall outflow the hiding places. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. For the time that goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall pass it over, day by night, and it shall be a vexation to understand the report. What did God lay in Zion to break the covenant of a sinner with death. The stone, the chief cornerstone, Zion, Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, God lifts up out of mire and sets us on solid ground. That took place. Isaiah said, I will do it little by little. Jesus started, that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then he spoke to them. Then he breathed upon them. They had understanding of the scriptures. They understood what was taking place. Then he commands them, wait till you be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem before you go to the world. All of these lead us to the inspirational gifts that God uses to edify, to build up, to comfort the church. And use also to comfort one another. Amen? We can edify ourselves. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if we're going to live a supernatural life, then we are going to have to allow the Holy Ghost and the nine gifts to break forth into our life. And remember that as we have started to examine the three vocal gifts, the inspired gifts, they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These three are used as the vocal or the voice of the Holy Ghost through other believers. And so you and I must yield to that. So we discovered one thing, that we get filled with an evidential tongue. That is not a prayer language. I'm not trying to bust your bubble, but somebody should have broken it years ago. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Oh man, you better hurry. I lost sight of that clock. 10:45. Got it. Okay. Follow after charity. Desire. Be passionate. Refuse not to be active with the gifts of the Spirit. Refuse to live without them. And then it says this, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto who? So let's just say this. Nobody is going to interpret, translate, hear, get a piece of, or understand what you're saying. Is that what that just said? Give me a graduate. Who's a college grad? Anybody go to Spencerville High? Anybody go to Harvard? You did, but Spencerville. Okay. And anybody go to a college? They got a degree. Who? Well, come up here. I need your help. I need your help, praise God. Give me that microphone, would you please? Now you're an educated young lady, and you're available. Okay, all right, come on up here. What does that say up there?
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men.
Okay, whoa. Now, just educationally, what would that speaketh not unto men mean?
Not speak to men.
Okay, and then it says, but unto God.
Yes.
So there's a conversation going on here.
Absolutely.
For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, how much do you pay for your college?
I don't even want to know.
Okay, all right. Okay, don't worry. The president stays in office. You liable to get a Mercedes just for going and not paying your bill.
If he does back pay.
Yeah, only if he does back pay. Yeah, you're right. You don't even have to work to get a check in this.
Tell me about it.
My word, man. Hallelujah. And Phil told me I ought to be getting millions. I haven't done nothing for years. But now look at it. It says this. You said true.
It's truth.
What, that I ain't done nothing in years?
No, that you should be getting a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Now look, it says that when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks unto God, not to men, for no man understandeth him. But when we get an evidential language, remember it has to do with exhorting God, commemorating God, speaking of the wonders of God, and that edifies us. Just like if you go to Psalms and start reading them, you would build yourself up. So here it says that, but he speaks unto God. Well, God wouldn't give you an evidential language and say, I wonder what they're going to talk about. He would know what you're going to talk about. Amen? But here in this, even by an educated person, single, available, and waiting, we could see that God's not even talking to men. So no man understands him. Thank you. No man understands him. Is that true? All right. He's speaking mysteries. Well, now, there is a tongue that is a prayer language, a communicative tongue, that you're not just building yourself up, but you're speaking to God. Amen? Now, the problem is that people never learn the difference because we're never taught. It's like, you know, we bought a donkey, and even if the donkey doesn't know it, he could be living with pigs. You just throw him in there, and pretty soon, status quo is status quo. I look like a donkey, but I smell like a pig. I eat corn with pigs in the pig pen. I'm really not a pig. I'm just donkey, but I don't know anything else to do. So we swallow everything. And it makes us children. It strips us of spiritual maturity. And we never invade any further than, well, I got tongues. You didn't get tongues, you got a person. Jesus didn't stay at Jordan, and don't stay by your doctrine that you speak in tongues. Start developing your relationship with him that abides in you. Amen? Amen? All right. Then, now, let's connect this with Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 26. Can I have that on there? Romans 8, 26. We're going to connect where a man is speaking unto God, a prayer language. Now, every Christian, somebody say every Christian, should be able to interpret the different kinds of tongues. Every believer should know when they're speaking unto God and when they should be speaking unto men and when they should be speaking to their self. Because the Bible says, if there is no interpreter, then let that individual be quiet, be silent, and speak to himself and speak unto God. So you and I should know the difference. How could you be speaking to men and expecting God to answer your prayer when you aren't even praying? We need to be able to discern, to interpret what language is coming out of us. And if you're speaking to yourself and to God, it means that you shouldn't be broadcasting it to 10 people around you. Oh, well, I just lost control of myself. Then you got a demon. Because the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, I know that none of us do this. I'm just telling you that is totally out of order when you disrupt somebody else's worship or their thought of thinking when they're studying or hearing the word or trying to follow a service. All right, it says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. In other words, he comes alongside and provides whatever is needed to complete the task because we have run into weaknesses, a lack of faith. We could run into fear. We could run into a lack of knowledge. Hebrews 4:13 says there's nothing hid from the eyes of the Holy Ghost that we are in relationship with, but he knows the working of the devil. And we don't. We don't even know half the time when he's working through us. We call it Jesus. Well, I just felt the Lord swell up and I lost control. Yep, that's Jesus. All right. And then it says this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, or how to get the answer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or articulated in human or English language. And he that searcheth the heart, he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession, the Spirit does, for the saints according to the will of God. Notice now that the Holy Ghost is approaching God and praying for the saints. So this is not a edification or an evidential language. This is a conversation of prayer on the behalf of another. And then it says this. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Now we know that when we come to the end of ourselves and ask the Holy Ghost to give us the utterance. Holy Ghost, help me pray in this situation. Well, he is just as kind and accepting as Jesus. He doesn't say, "Ah, you idiot. Don't you know nothing?" That's not what he does. He begins to give you an utterance. And he begins to give you an utterance that is in direct line with God's will for your life or for the situation that you're praying for. See, he knows more than you. He doesn't ever have a lack of faith. He doesn't fear. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't run out of information. He's not ignorant in certain things. His eyes are open. We can trust him. Amen? All right. So we see that we, as believers, should have a prayer language. Somebody say a prayer language. Absolutely. We should have a prayer language. And so we can employ the Holy Ghost, just like you could ask Jesus. Jesus, teach us to pray. Ain't got time. No. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to have utterances in other languages. And we need to employ the Holy Ghost in the life that you and I live in right now. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to Jude and then we're going to wrap up with this. Jude. Yep, let's go to Jude. Let me answer this. Anybody know what part that the devil is after in your life? Hell is set afire by an untamed tongue. He's after your tongue. Now, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you may not be able to tame the tongue, but the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. And if hell can start a fire, can the Holy Ghost start a backfire and take back that which has been sought to be destroyed? Absolutely. Absolutely. If your words cannot set heaven on fire, then the devil has something that God doesn't have access to. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Now Jude, 7-8-19. Jude 19. These are they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the, what? Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How to do that? Hear the scriptures. Listen to it. Put it on cassette tape. Go over it and over it and over it. And memorize the scriptures. Is that what it said? Well, what's it say? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Do you keep blowing a cork? Put something in your mouth instead of what you're thinking. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some have compassion making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. How do you keep yourself strong in your faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You walk in the love of God, you'll not transgress against the Father nor against man. You keep yourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we discovered these things that we have evidential language, we have a prayer language, we have a language that we can edify ourselves, we have a prayer language where the Holy Ghost gives us utterances to speak to the Father, that He has a divine outcome for every problem you face. And if you'll pray enough, your problems will go away. I'm telling you, they'll go away. And then we have this supernatural tongue that may be a mixture of all of them that help keep our faith strong. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. And then keep yourself in the love of God. Now, those are just three, but they are basic and they are necessary. Every Christian should be operating in these things. Every Christian should have a prayer language. Every Christian should be able to be used by the Holy Ghost to speak to men. Every Christian ought to be able to edify himself. Get off the phone, quit murmuring, complaining how bad life is. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Encourage yourself. Dump that garbage truck out of your heart. And let's start walking in the love of God, where love is not an afterthought, because our deeds and our actions have to be repented of. Come on, we were children. Come on, it's time to become men. It's time to become women. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God, I can't hardly wait till next week. Oh, Lord Jesus, Pastor, I might not come next week. That's okay. All right, it'll be the week you need. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 He wants to profit your life. He wants to profit your life. He wants to loose rivers into your deserts. He wants to turn your dry places into oases. He wants to cause your past seeds to flourish. Oh, yeah. He wants to cause your past seeds to flourish. The things you put your hands to, the devil stole. The finances that you sowed, you gave up on. The things you dreamed about, and now you've lost the dream. The things that you wanted to see God changed, and you know, you just, man, God, I've tried, but remember, here a little and there a little. God is moving on your behalf. Oh, let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost is doing, because he's smarter than you and I combined. Oh, Father, I loose right now, God, just blessing. God, let these words challenge us. Let these words, God, chasten us. Let these words, God, awaken us. Oh, God, let us be awakened. Let fires start, ignited by heaven in our homes, in our families, in our children's, our businesses, our schools. Oh, God, ignite the fires, God, of revival, of purity, God, of unity, of love, of consecration. God, ignite us. God, burn us to the ground that we might rise up and be renewed, stronger, more war-ready than we've ever been. God, bless these people. Keep them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. See you Wednesday night. Hallelujah.